And good Friday morning. It's Friday, January the 11th, 2019. Here we are over the back fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Pastor, here we are for another week, second Friday of 2019. We're rolling right along.
I actually just wrote a check and remembered to put a 19 on it.
Isn't that difficult? When it first happens, I always forget.
Yeah, those dentists. I've had a problem with it. I've had a tooth out 2 months ago, and now it's bothered me all over again. There's something there that's so pay the piper, right?
You do.
It's kind of interesting. I was out the other day, and I remember commenting to somebody, if you could just stay like this all year long, and that was 2 days ago.
Monday, yeah.
And it was beautiful weather, wasn't it?
Oh, 60. People were outside, no coats.
And then all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, here it comes.
I remember Wednesday night, I was at Bible study at church and looking out the window, and I thought, oh my word, where did this come from? And the roads got real bad for a short time, didn't they?
They did, and tomorrow, it's my understanding. I mean, 2 inches is not a lot, but it's a little more than we had on Tuesday morning.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I kind of follow the Farmer's Almanac and have over the years. And once again, you know, everyone was claiming we were going to have this hard winter. And the snow was going to hit about Thanksgiving and never let up. And it just didn't happen, did it?
Didn't happen. I believe it was last year, 2017, we had the White Christmas, which nobody expected because it came Christmas Eve.
Right.
But last year, when we were supposed to have this White Christmas, it didn't happen.
Hey, you know what I kind of like to talk about a little bit this morning, being we're talking about snow and weather? I know we were talking about positive things to get into the year. We're going to continue that. I'd like to do that. But I want to go back a little bit of memory lane. And Scott, you were probably a little boy when this happened. How old were you in 1978?
Young.
Were you born?
Yes.
Okay, you were born. But I was married the week after the blizzard of 1978. And I've got to tell you a little bit about that blizzard. It was insane. I remember I tried to walk across a field to get to my boss's house because the roads were just shut down. And I walked across a creek that I forgot was there because the snow was flat over it. And when I got out over the bank, I dropped and went in and went down, and the water wasn't frozen. And I got soaked, but it was so frigid. I mean, when that blizzard hit, the temperatures dropped with it. And I had to make this decision. I'm like halfway to my boss's house and between it and my car. And I thought, if I walk to his house and he's not home, I'll freeze to death. And I might freeze to death anyway. So I turned around and went back to my car. And the funny thing was, when I got there, I got in the car and I looked at my pants, and they were frozen solid, and I could knock on them. It was like my pants were.
Oh.
And it was just so cold. And I actually had two friends that passed away in that blizzard.
Oh.
Two young people. They were out one night drinking and just having a teenager time, I guess. And they decided to park for a while. Well, his car had a hole in the exhaust, and carbon monoxide came up through the floor. And they didn't find them. No one knew where they were. And several days after the blizzard, there was a truck pulling into a place where it was and saw the roof of this car and found it, and they were in it. But wow, that was an insane blizzard that came through. I also heard a story about some guys that this guy went out and he bought a road grader. He had just bought it at a state sale, and through the contract work that he got cleaning roads, he more than paid for his road grader and made money just in that one snow contracting, because the state was asking anyone and everyone to clean wherever you could.
Well, and it came late. It came in March.
No, it was actually in.
Was it?
It was February.
Was it February?
The end of January, 1st of February, because I was married on February 4th, and they had just opened the road where the church was when I got married.
Maybe it was the one. I don't think they considered it a blizzard because the snow didn't drift. But we had something, I believe it was in 2008 or 2009, where more snow actually fell in a 24-hour period, but we didn't have the drifting.
Didn't have the blowing.
Yeah, maybe that was in March. But I remember that one very well because I was working in radio at the time at WMRN, and it came on a Saturday. And I was doing Saturday mornings. And at that time, Saturday mornings, I was the only one in the building that early because I did the morning news. Matter of fact, on Saturdays, I don't think we had anybody else in the building all day long unless there was a sports game going on. So I would get there about 5 in the morning, record the news, and go on there from 6 until 9, I think it was. Well, the snow started on Friday night at about midnight, and I remember I could not sleep because I thought, well, if I get snowed in at home, I'm not going to make it to the radio station, and I knew there were going to be a lot of cancellations. And back then, it still was before smartphones really took hold, that people still relied on radio for cancellations and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going into the radio station at about 1:30 in the morning, starting to get those cancellations. And by the time I, because at 9 a.m., I thought I got to get out of here because I'm going to get snowed in here. And I left the radio station at 9, and I thought I can't go through town because it's awful. So I'm going to try to get on 23 because I thought, well, they'll keep that clean. Well, I ended up going off the side of the road.
Oh, my.
And I'll never forget, a police officer pulled up, and he said, just get in the car, leave it there. And he said, just come back tomorrow and get it out. And we're driving around, and you weren't supposed to be on the road. I knew this because I was giving the weather updates on the radio 15 minutes earlier, and it was a level 3, I think, and that's when you can be arrested for being on the road.
Right.
So I thought, well, I need to tell this officer why I was on the road. And I said, I'm sitting in the back of the cruiser, and I said, well, I just want to let you know why I was out in this. And he says, I know I was listening. So I thought, oh, okay, well, there you go.
You know, I knew a fellow Peterson family back in that blizzard of 78 lost their whole dairy business because people don't realize, you know, cows have to be milked. And when you have a large herd of cows and you rely on milking machines to milk them, they said, why don't you milk them by hand? Well, you just can't. There are not enough people to milk. You couldn't, especially today's cows, you know, when they're milking 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds a day, depending on the cow. That's an awful lot of milk at 8 pounds to the gallon, and you just couldn't do it. And, you know, cows get mastitis. It was just, it's a mess. And, you know, it was so many days till they could get back on that them and many other farmers lost their livelihood during that. People don't think of the repercussions and all the collateral damage when those things happen, but they really do. Kids love it because they're out of school, but many times parents can't get to work and they're not paid for those days. My wife worked at the hospital for many years in Marysville, and I couldn't stand it when the weather would get really bad because she'd have to go Route 4 into Marysville, and they were considered essential employees. Level 3 or not, they were to be on the road. And that was just many times I took her because I just said, I'm not letting you drive. And scary stuff.
You know, the carbon monoxide thing is very important.
Yes, I heard that this morning.
Yeah, I put that particularly purposely on the news today because we are going to have snow tomorrow, and people tend to forget about those sort of things. So if you listen to the news report today, you'll get all the things you should do in preparation for snow. Now, tomorrow's not going to be a huge snow, 1 to 2 inches, but this is something you might want to do now in
Absolutely.
Case there is a big snow, and you've got to make sure that tailpipe is clear.
Yes,
that's a big thing people forget about.
And clear it out, not just behind where the pipe comes out, but clear it out away from the car far enough that all that carbon monoxide has a place to go. If you've got to sit in a car with the car running, because it'll you won't even realize it's sneaking up on you, and it'll have you.
It will.
And you'll just start getting tired, and even little ones are really susceptible to it. So you might be feeling kind of okay when your little one's in a car seat in the back, and they you think they just went to sleep. So please, Scott, you're right. Be careful.
Well, and people also don't think about it now, and this is something we never thought about 20 years ago, a cell phone charger. Now, the purpose for that is, yes, you might be able to make the initial 911 call, and you might be able to tell people where you are, but if you're covered in snow and you are off the side of the road, they might try to call you back, or you might have to call again, because there's a lot of things going on at that time. And if your phone dies, you're up the creek.
And please keep blankets in the car.
Yes.
It's not that hard. You know, say, well, I don't have any extra blankets. Well, fine. Go to the Goodwill and get them real cheap or somewhere. You can get something. Take some old clothes if you don't have blankets. But put them in the trunk of your car so you can access them if you need to, because you don't know how long you're going to be in. And another thing is put a, it's real good to have some kind of a red flag that you can put on your vehicle so people can see where you are as they come down the road if you are off the road. Road flares are great this time of year. I know this sounds like doomsday prepping, but folks, I'll tell you what, just like I was talking about that blizzard of 78, it was not predicted.
No, clear it was a heavy, before.
It was a heavy rainstorm was supposed to come in, and they didn't realize the jet stream came through and dropped the temperatures another 30 degrees, and that huge rainstorm just dumped it.
Well, there are little things you can do, like having a kit, like we're talking about, that, boy, you don't think about it at the time, but when it happens, they make a world of difference.
And, you know, you can buy those little hand warmers very cheaply, that the ones you just break the packet, and they last for a while. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can do like that. It also does not hurt to keep a jug of water in the trunk.
No.
For hydration. All those kind of things. It's just a good idea, because I can tell you that back during that blizzard, there were people in heavily populated areas in town, off the road, and nobody could see them. It drifted that hard. And they found a lot of people. It was a sad deal. There was a lot of stuff that, you know, some people, you just couldn't get to them because lines were down. Most phones weren't working. It took out telephone poles. It took out, because the weight of all of it, and snow plows hitting things they couldn't see. That happened a lot. Cars just getting plastered by snow plow. They couldn't see them.
No. And one of the things, it's not on the news report, but it's commonly known, if you just get a bag of kitty litter and you put it in your trunk, that is something that gets great traction for your tires.
Well, I'll say this. Let me qualify that just a little bit. Make sure that you get the gravel type kitty litter. Don't get that absorbent stuff.
No,
because
no.
It'll just turn too mush.
Right, right.
Yeah, get the gravelly stuff. Another thing that works real well is sand. Try to get the heavy graded sand. Some things of that nature. Also, you know, there's all kinds of things you can use. You know, get a couple short blocks of 2x4 you can stick under a tire to help get you out. A lot of different things. But, yeah, just try to be prepared, you know, and don't just take off. You know, I see parents, you do this all the time. I've had own family I see do it, and maybe I did it with my kids. I don't remember. Hey, I'm just running down to the store. The kid runs out and jumps in the car with no jacket on, and you say, okay, well, you know what? That's not a good idea. Nope. You don't know what's going to happen, especially like today. I'm only going 3 miles somewhere. What if you go off the road? It's cold out there.
It is cold, and I think sometimes planning is everything.
In everything we do.
In everything.
We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yes, you've got a plan.
So what did we talk about last week? Do you remember? What were a couple of the things that we suggested? I know I suggested, you know, people going to church, people getting their finances in order.
Right.
We talked a little bit about the dreaded word, dieting.
Yes, yes. Well, I think you have to make a lifestyle change in all these things. I don't think it can be. I think it started with talking about resolutions. And resolutions, I'm not sure, are a good idea. I think you just have to make a plan, as we've said, to change your life. And it doesn't have to be something drastic. Because I think the littler the thing, the bigger the change.
You know, something we don't do a lot of today, Scott, is we don't write.
No.
We use our phones, our tablets, our computer screens, but we don't write. And one of the best ways to remember something is to
write it down
and write it down, put it on your refrigerator where you see it, put it on your nightstand when you go to bed, write it down. Oh, I can pull it up. I'm like, no, don't pull up your app, write it down. And great way to remember it.
You know, I write notes all the time. I have index cards at home where I constantly write notes.
I do too.
Because I'll forget. As sure as I'm sitting here, I will forget to do that, and I'll remember it about 10 minutes before I need it. And then I'll think, oh boy, I don't have it with me. So I do that all the time, right at my desk at home. I have index cards sitting all over it.
I do right now on my desk. And yeah. And it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because I was writing on one this morning to leave my wife a message. You know, it's interesting. The you remember when you write it, but if I don't write it down, I am 90% guaranteed to forget it. It just happens. You've got so much going on in that brain today. And people will think, boy, you know, you forgot this. Well, it shows you don't think much of me. That's not the case at all. The brain's just trying to make room for all your stuff, and it just tosses stuff out.
Well, you know, the other time that I do this is when I have an idea. If I'm in the middle of doing something, and for some reason I get an idea, but I'm not at home, I'll write that down. Something that will trigger that idea back in my head, and I'll put it in my pocket, and when I clean out my pockets at the end of the night, there it is, and then I'll lay it on the desk and get to it when I have time to get to it. Because how many ideas pop in your brain that you think are good ideas that never pop back in?
You know, I've talked to more pastors, I've heard of songwriters, people that write poetry, people that write books, and all of them have said the same thing. You know, I was here or there, and all I had was a napkin. And,
yeah.
You know, or, you know, they're on a plane and they have a napkin, and a thought comes, and they immediately write it down, because that's, you know, so many, I've heard so many lyricists talk about, you know, the entire song was written on the back of a brochure or a, you know, something, a magazine or whatever the case. And, you know, then you find out 20 years later that thing's sold at auction for $5 million, you know. But the truth is, you do. You have to write things down to remember. Or that even if they come back, they won't always come back the same way.
Well, what I have found is anytime you're doing something creative, whether it's a song or a script. Now, I've never written a song, but sometimes I've done some script writing. You have the idea and you write the script. But you've got to walk away from it for about a day. And then you come back and you read it again. And you won't completely change it, but you will certainly tweak it mm-hmm. to something that's better. I don't know why the brain works that way, mm-hmm. but it does. And if you tried to reread it right after you wrote it, you think, well, that's fine. But something will hit you overnight. And when you get some distance between the original writing and when you go back to it, you'll say, oh, you know, this is actually a better line there. And if you're trying for comedy, this is actually a little funnier than that is. And you do change little things.
I know with the Bible, I would encourage people to buy what's called a wide margin Bible, which is typically has wide margins on the side and a wide margin in the middle, separating the chapters. And the reason being, you know, the Bible is certainly is God's word. It's a holy book, but the paper it's written on isn't holy. The binding is not holy. It's the words that are inside. Some people say, oh, you can't write in your Bible. Why can't you? God wants you to understand what's in it. So I encourage people, my Bible is nothing but notes. And it's great because I can turn to a certain area, and rather than I can pick up, excuse me, you had to sneeze. But anyway, you can pick up and say, ah, that's what I meant. And what I really love is I've got my mother's Bible, and I've got one of my brother's Bibles when he was in seminary many, many, many years ago. And I've got one of my sister's Bible when she was in college, and I can go through those, and I can see what their thoughts were and what they wrote. And that's just some neat stuff. But it all comes to writing down. If you're doing one thing that is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm sorry, folks, if you got to hear this, if you're in our church, but is people using their cell phone to look up scripture. Now, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But my thinking is to carry the Bible with you and to be able to make those notes and have it right there is you kind of take ownership of that. It's very hard to take ownership of something that you pull up and then you scroll past. And you're not making notes in between those lines as you scroll past. But today we live in a day of technology. And you know, the other problem in church, Scott, is kind of interesting is that, and I'm not going to say anyone does this, I know you may be faithfully in the scripture, but it's so easy when you've got your cell phone in front of you and you're scrolling through and reading the scripture I'm telling you, all of a sudden a little bling comes up and it's a message. You know, it's very hard to not go to that. Or, you know, and all of a sudden you're sidetracked, you're missing what's going on. And I really encourage people to, hey, you know what, interesting, I think it's our school system next year that's going back to cursive writing. I think most of them are.
I think a lot of them.
Oh, my word. Why would you ever eliminate cursive writing with these kids?
You know, I'm not sure what drove that. I really don't know. I can't imagine there was a movement behind it because it has no significance to get rid of it. I think what happened was in elementary school, letter writing used to be a big deal. And I think they have eliminated that because people don't write letters anymore. And I think the cursive writing went out with that, but I think people didn't think it through as far as signatures and just writing something that's legible.
Yeah, true. And I think, too, though, that, you know, we're becoming such a non-personal society. And that's hurting us. We know that because we're seeing a lot of our division and our thought processes coming from not having feelings in person. You know, there's something about writing a handwritten personal letter to someone. I mean, how many times do you find something in an old letter from your mother or your that means so much to you? And if it was printed, it wouldn't have the same nostalgic hold to it. Another thing, too, you know, all of our original government documents are written in cursive. If you want to read an original government document and you can't read or write cursive, you're going to really struggle with it. And I think those are things that are important in our nation to know those things.
I think you're right, and I don't understand where manners have gone. Because I was thinking about this morning. When I was in school, which hasn't been all terribly that long ago, there was a class when you were in elementary school about how to interact with people at the dinner table, how to interact, just have good manners. And I don't know, boy, that's everywhere. That's just falling apart.
You know, there's a new a thing that's it's kind of like a, I don't know if you describe it as a club. It's extracurricular. It's not curricular. That's going on in the schools right now. I can't think of the name of it. And I know Mr. Lichtenberger, I believe it was last year, adopted that at Elgin. I'm not sure if they're doing it this year. But it's for third grade boys. Now someone needs to do something with the girls, but this is for the boys. And all the boys, they buy a tie, and they get them a jacket, and they teach them how to be proper, how to open a door for someone, how to say thank you, how to speak, how to have manners, how to present themselves. And it's just such a wonderful course because, you know, we're not automatically taught those things anymore.
You know, it's interesting because church and funerals, weddings, occasions, I've seen a lot of the ties and the suit jackets, sports coats go by the wayside. Now, if you don't have the money to do it, I understand that. That's a whole different issue. But what I don't understand, I think that's where it starts. If you have the money for just a shirt with a collar, or not wearing sweatpants, you know, because I hear now people so many times when they say, well, that's yesterday. I don't. Why do I have to wear jeans? Why do I have to wear dress pants? Well, what that really is the start of a backslide that does go into manners, because that was all done for respect. It was done for, that's what they said, at least, whether that was the motivation.
No, I agree with it. I got to interject, this is kind of funny. I saw a post yesterday and someone said, hey, it's going to be down below 20 tomorrow. Moms, remember to put on a double layer of pajama pants when you bring your kids to school.
Yeah.
but that's a fact. I went to a wrestling match last year for kids, and these two ladies brought their kids in their pajamas. And I'm thinking, here's the first thing that tells me. If I'm an employer or a prospective employer, the first thing I think is these people have to be the most lazy people in the world. They can't even get up and put clothes on and get dressed.
I'll tell you something funny. When I was in college, I worked at a bank, and it was mandatory to wear a tie.
Sure.
Mandatory. Walk into a bank today and see how many of the men are wearing ties.
You won't see very many.
No.
But you'll see some. It depends on the bank, too.
But that's been a recent thing that has went by the wayside.
You know, and whatever happened to looking respectable and looking like someone to be respected? Now, I'm a fine one to talk when it comes to the role of pastor, because I do not, I know pastors that wear a suit and tie every day, or they wear at least a sport coat every day. And I'm certainly not that, as you can see me right now. I'm wearing a fire department t-shirt. But I do believe that when we're working in certain positions, if I walk into a place and say I'm going to invest what little bit of money I have, and somebody greets me and they look sloppy and out of place, I might be a little hesitant to trust them with my money as I would somebody that looks like they took their time that morning to get up, to wash up, to shave, to comb their hair, to put on a decent clothes, and to come in so they would be presentable to me. Because if they take personal care of themselves, they're probably going to take personal care of what they're doing also.
You know what's an interesting facet of this is that the same people who at funeral, weddings, don't want to do it. Now, if you watch them, if they are going to meet somebody in what is a casual atmosphere, if they want to impress somebody, they do dress up.
Mm-hmm.
They do. You might put a nice pair of jeans on.
Put on their best concert t-shirt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's interesting to me because their argument is, we don't have to do this anymore. But even they know. You know, they're not going to go in sweatpants and a t-shirt if they're trying to impress.
I'll give you a good example. Go to the Popcorn Festival or the Marion Fair. For some reason, people that never get out of their pajamas will put on their best jeans and their best whatever to go to those venues. They're not going to walk that midway in their pajama pants.
Well, I hate to say this, but bars, which you would think would be the most casual place in the world.
Oh, no.
No, because people are looking to meet people.
And they want to impress their friends.
And they want to impress.
And the rest of society, I really don't care, is what their thinking process is. And it's too bad because it goes back to manners. I'm sorry. I really believe it does, Scott. You were talking about the lack of, it is a lack of manners. If you don't have enough respect for me to decide to try to be presentable to me, then you're telling me I don't respect you and I really don't care what you think about me. And that's really what it's about. And then those are the same people many times that say, I'm tired of no one giving me any respect. Well, I mean, come on, what are you going to do?
Well, it's funny because I have always felt that when you do something in the public eye, that you should not look like the people who are coming to watch you. If you're giving a speech, I don't think you should dress as casual as they dress. Because it's just, there's something about it. There's just something different. And if you look like the people who are coming to watch you or listen to you, well, they could have stayed home and listened to themselves.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll wear jeans when I'm talking, but I'll usually wear a dress shirt.
Yeah, that's it.
Even with that. And that is different because most people, when they wear jeans, are not wearing a dress shirt with it. But, you know, I've even talked to employers that tell me that people have actually showed up for a job interview wearing pajamas. Do they actually think someone was going to hire them?
Well, it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. And I know that sweatpants have matured over the years.
To what?
Now, jogging pants and...
I'm wearing a pair of jogging pants today.
Right. But would you wear them to a job interview?
Oh, no. Of course
right.
not.
But I think people would. I think they would. Because they're comfortable. And that there's nothing wrong with them.
Well, I wear them because... you know, I'll go to the gym some mornings, and some mornings I don't feel like taking everything with me and doing the whole changeover, you know. But, yeah, it's just, back to the manners thing. People almost look at you like you're silly if you hold a door for them anymore. But I find that when you hold a door for people, which I always do, rarely, sometimes I don't, and then I feel stupid. But when I hold, most of the time people say thank you. They really do.
Well, people, I think, in general, are a contradiction nowadays. Because no sooner will somebody say something than they'll do the opposite.
Right.
And you look at it and you say, boy, that was odd. And what I have learned now is, for a long time, I thought, because you try to be a straightforward person. So you try to say, hey, why'd you do that? You know, not in a militant sense, but just, you know, right. what was that all about? I've given up on that. Because what I have learned is if I did that all the time, that's all I would be doing. So mm-hmm. I just observe it, and I say, oh, okay, well, that's different.
And you might not like the response you get either.
No.
When you say, why'd you do that?
Well, sometimes they don't even see it, and they want to argue with you about it. And I say, well, it just happened.
You know, I think, to be honest with you, and I won't say it, there's something interesting going on. I am seeing, as I'm out in public a lot lately, I'm seeing more middle-aged people show more manners than they were a few years ago, but I'm seeing more younger people with a total disregard for manners whatsoever. It's like, if you don't like what I'm doing, too bad. And that's really the mentality. And I can't quite put my finger on that one exactly either, why those two things are, maybe other people aren't seeing it, but I've been noticing it quite a bit because a lot of people are very polite. Say there's two lines, the lines are at the register and another line opens up. Someone will look at me and say, go ahead. You know, yeah. That happens almost every time. And you know, I'm not sure that it was that polite a couple years ago, but I am seeing in, you know, I'll be honest with you, today on the way here, there was three teenagers in a car. And where you meet there, it was a merge. And I was in the merge first, and I took the lane I should, but there was a carload of teenagers that were getting on the gas and thought they should. And the guy hangs out the window completely, out the passenger side of the window with his gestures and yelling. I mean, where are we at?
Well, people are angry. Now, I do want to hear why people are angry.
I do too.
Because I think it's valid to hear why they're angry. But this comes to a point that I think is also very sensitive is, you know, sometimes people just want to be heard. Now, an opinion's an interesting thing. Because an opinion can be wrong. Sometimes we say, well, there are no wrong opinions. Well, if in your opinion you misstate a fact, that's a wrong opinion.
Yes.
But sometimes I think it's okay just to say, I hear you, I understand. Even if I disagree with you. But I think that everybody is so... I'm all for good discussion. I think good discussion, more things come out of good discussion than any other thing we do. I think it's diplomacy on a small level.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that one of the things that is really driving the real anger in the drive today, you've got two different dynamics going on. Same dynamic, two different ways to look at it. One group is saying, wow, look what our country has happened to our country in the last 50 years. We're losing the American we knew, and they feel threatened. And another group feels that they don't like where our country was, and they want it someplace continually different, and they don't want to lose any ground. So you got one group wanting ground, another group saying, you're not taking our country from us, and it really can really heat up a lot of emotion.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Personally, my philosophy is that this too shall pass. So I guess whatever's going on in the world, as much as I try to stay informed, as much as I try to pay attention to it, in my own mind, to be honest with you, I think, well, if I don't like it, it'll pass, and it does. There's never been a time where it does not pass. And but I don't think that's most people's attitude. I think they think it's going to be this way, and I am not a reactor. You could say something very negative to me. People could yell at me. And I'm not going to yell back. I'm just not a reactor in that way. So, but I think other people are.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, a lot of things, you know, you can look at a situation like, say we have a decision that comes up in the world and it's voted on, or in the government, and it goes to our Supreme Court and it's voted on, whatever that may be. And if I sit back before it goes through and says, well, this too shall pass. Well, the thing is that the heated moment of it may pass, but there may be something that is generational lasting because of it. And even though the situation went away, the repercussions are still there.
Well, I think you have to speak out. When I say this too shall pass, I'm not advocating being a pacifist.
I understand.
I don't think that's the idea. I think it's just
the situation.
Yeah, the situation will pass because I think everybody should work to change what they feel is wrong. That's, we have such a finite period on this planet, and you want it to be a better planet. And everybody's got an idea on how the planet's going to be better. I think you, as long as you're living and as long as you're moving forward, there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't understand why we have to have this gridlock before it.
It's because people decide they're going to have their way and they're not going to move.
Well, that's,
I find it interesting with this current thing with what's going on with the government shutdown. It's kind of funny, and we've talked about the direction that the majority of our press is leaning, and it was really funny. You know, the last two presidents prior to this one have shut down the government to get something done. Well, the press in both those cases blamed the Congress for not opening it back up, and blamed the Congress for that because, not in the case of George W., they blamed him, but in the case of Obama, it was always the Congress's fault that they wouldn't get it open. Well, now the press is just putting it on the president. Well, the thing that's very interesting about that is he ran on that he wanted to build a wall. He was elected on that. So that's no surprise to anyone. So when it comes back to opening the government, you know, why is it just the president's fault that it's closed? They've got to come together and make a decision to get it open.
There are two things I've observed about this whole thing. And I don't know when this started, because my love of presidents, I love presidential history.
I do too.
I love reading books about them. And I especially love 20th century presidents,
mm-hmm.
because things were going on then.
They were characters. I guess they all
were. They really were. Republican, Democrat, whatever they were. What I don't understand is all of a sudden there have only been two presidents, Trump and Obama. It's like the others never existed.
That? They didn't exist.
I tell you, Trump and Obama at this point, they're not in my top 10 of studying presidential history. Now maybe Trump will be when he's done, but
oh, they're certainly not in my. Matter of fact, I'm looking to see how far back I got to go to get a top 10 right now. I think I may go to Reagan.
There's a case to be made for Reagan.
There's a case Absolutely. To be made for Kennedy, even though it was short-lived.
Absolutely. I think Roosevelt, there's a case to be made.
Case to be made. But I think David Eisenhower was a good president. Or Dwight Eisenhower.
I think he gets overlooked.
I think he does get overlooked.
I think he war president, or war general, did a lot of good things there. But as president, interstate highway system.
But, you know, you look at some of Kennedy's quotes and things that he said, I mean, solid stuff, man, about the sovereignty of our nation and our country. And, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, there was such a huge movement from the Republicans to not vote him in, and a lot of it was that fear of Catholicism, like what happened 200 years ago with the Church of England. But it was interesting, once he became president, as he did positive things, people liked him. And I remember when the Bay of Pigs happened, I was just a little rascal. But, I mean, the whole country was right on, Mr. President, you know, we're a sovereign nation. And why we can't get past some of this hatred and division right now, and calling the president, some of the names going out there blow me away.
Well,
how do we get that rude?
Well, it's awful. I really do believe we got to have respect for the office of the presidency. And again, to be fair, you know, I'll say this. When Pelosi and Schumer spoke the other night, it was an odd setting. But all the memes that came out of it, I thought, why do we have to do that? You know, and they do it with the president, too.
Absolutely.
Why do we have to go that far? You know, of course they're not going to agree with the president. And right now the president doesn't agree with them. And people are taking sides. But do we have to go to the memes? Do we have to go to the name-calling?
Well, I think that our president can calm down on some of the name-calling, too. And he's opened the door on some of that, I think, with himself. But and many times he's been very presidential. He is one that we have had some presidents that had some pretty crude private lives, but they've managed to separate that from their government position. Our president says, look, what you see is what you get, and unfortunately what you hear is what you hear. And you know, I think that he could make some of his points on. I don't have a problem with him using Twitter because he bypasses all the media and says, this is exactly what I'm saying. So I think him using Twitter is great, but I think that he could watch some of the name calling and those kind of things on Twitter. I think that he can say a lot of things in a tactful way, but coming back and calling the president an MF-er and then having people support that, I was blown away by a guest the other day that said that you know they could see where there was support for that, and I thought, are you kidding me?
Why I don't understand that.
Just blows me away. It's, how in the world, as an elected official with people to respect you, don't you realize there are children looking at you for? I mean, and I think all of our elected officials need to look at that. Not just that particular person, but our president and our vice presidents, and you know the things that they say in public and the things that they've done. You know, it has eroded. I think the one thing that really eroded the office of the presidency, probably more than any other thing, is when it was so public, the Monica Lewinsky thing. When it became that public, and then it was okay when people said, oh, it's his private life, it's okay. I think it took that level. I mean, if you look at just a few years earlier, when Nixon went in and he lied, he had to leave the presidency over it, and he was disgraced for the rest of his life. And that was for telling a lie. Well, now you've got a president that not only told a lie, but then did something despicable with a young woman for our country's sake, sacred, not biblically sacred, the Oval Office, the most respected office in the most powerful nation in the world, and you bring a young woman in there to have sex, and yet it's nationally everywhere, and it turned out to be okay. And I think that's one of the main turning points when the real respect for the presidency just went right out the window. Like, okay, from this point on, presidents are no different than we are. We don't have to hold them to a higher standard. You know, none of that kind of stuff. And that's a sad thing.
Well, you know, what most people are debating about this government shutdown and the president and the Congress, and the Senate is involved in this, although they're not saying much. The thing to me about it that I am very worried about, more than any other shutdown, for this particular reason, we know what this government shutdown is about. And people feel one way or the other on it.
But we know what it's about.
But we know what it's about. Here's the problem. What I'm worried about is if, because precedents are interesting things, and I think as you just pointed out there, it started with a lie by Nixon. He had to leave over it. It went to a lie about a lewd act with Bill Clinton. He was impeached over it. Here's what I fear about this whole thing, because nobody can negotiate. What should be happening right now is some negotiation on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
So what I fear is if it comes down to all or nothing, the problem is going to be it's going to go one way or the other. The government will open back up, and either the wall will be built or it will not be built, depending on how the American people feel. But here's what's going to happen. There will be a Democratic president again one day, and let's say they want free college. And they want that in the budget. And let's say there's a Republican Congress at that time. They're going to shut down the government. And they're going to say, until you give me the money for that, we're not going to go forward. And I don't want that to go on.
Back and forth. You know, like right now, you know, a lot of the things are being said of, you know, the way the health care bill was pushed through several years ago. And they're saying, you know, this is, you know, it all comes back in full circle. But I want to say this to make sure that none of the listeners thought that I was being politically biased. If we held to the standards of a president that we held in the past, our current president could not and would not have been elected by the American people because he had been married too many times. There were too many things in his closet, and American people as a whole, whether he's doing a good job now or not, I'm not saying. I'm saying they would not have elected him because of the things in his closet. And that goes back to telling you how that respect for that position has fallen. It used to be, you're not going to elect a divorced president.
No, no.
No, you weren't going to do it. And look at what happened to Gary Hart.
Well, it's interesting because it was an issue for Reagan for a while that he was divorced. Mm-hmm. But he was the first, I believe, that had been divorced. That was a big deal. I mean, he had to be remarried. He had, you know.
But, you know, once again, there was a case where she left him.
That's true.
And he did not initiate the divorce. He wasn't an adulterer. It wasn't any of those kind of things.
And he was an actor.
And he was an actor.
People say, oh, that's Hollywood.
In President Trump's case, he just was ready for a younger model.
Yeah.
And a couple of times, it appears that
well,
way.
As I said the other day on the show, we had the discussion on the other day, there's no doubt the media is unfair to the president, and I hope that stops, but I think, I just hope the whole thing stops.
Because I do, too.
I really don't like the name-calling. I really don't I do think...
I don't like the president being called a liar and a racist and all these. I get tired. I get so tired of hearing it. You know, if you can come to me and honestly say that the people that you support don't lie and don't, then maybe okay, you have a right. But the point is, you can't.
Well, it's interesting because I have interviewed people who knew President Trump before he was president. Robin Leach, Larry King, a lot of people. And what they all say is, and I've already said the news media is not fair, so let's couch that. But all these people say they don't know this guy who's yelling at reporters and calling names. They don't know him. They said they don't know who he is. He's not like that. You know, Larry King said when I had my heart surgery, he took my wife out the night I was having heart surgery just to be a nice guy. And this guy that is saying this stuff, they don't know. And I don't know. Now,
he doesn't respond well to being attacked.
No, and I'm not sure why that is. I don't know. It's interesting.
He needs to have the upper hand all the time. That's just him.
Well, maybe that's part of business. I don't know.
I don't know, but I don't like it. I don't like it.
It's got
to... You know, we're out of time.
We are. It's been an interesting show.
It has been.
And this show will repeat on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., and next Tuesday at 6:10 p.m., and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Terry Tackett will be on 8 a.m. Sunday morning, and live Tuesday at 5:10. It's always fun.
Thank you, Scott. Yep. Take care.
M for Price Pickup. The WWDH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the